You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
To the same old Dolphin Show, sponsored by BetUS, part of the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. I'm Josh Katzker. With me today and every day is my brother from the exact same mother, Aaron the Brain. Aaron, say hello to the people.
Hello to the people.
Well, we're here. We're with the people 30 minutes later than expected on the live stream. Shout out to everybody watching on the I Am a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page and the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. Sorry that we're a little late. Technical difficulties. That's the problem when you have a studio in one location. You go over to the studio and the internet's not working. So you got to pick up your whole setup and move it somewhere else. So I'm recording this from my kitchen and sort of the bar between my kitchen and my living room as the new studio is still being built. So if my audio is off a little bit tonight, I apologize. It's a temporary problem as we work our way through this little hiccup as we're as the new studio is under construction here. It is what it is. But the important thing is we're here to talk some Miami Dolphin football. Brain, how's it going?
It's going. It's you know, it's the preseason for everybody, so you're forgiven. We're working out
some
kinks.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
But no, things are good. It's Miami Spice down here, so getting to try out some new restaurants or some really good restaurants that I have tried before, but get like this nice deal with a 3-course meal for either like $45 or $60, whichever, you know, that however that restaurant chooses to do it. So I've been,
we love a friendly deal.
Eating at some good restaurants, having some good food, and getting ready to do it again this weekend.
Let's go, baby. Preseason for everybody, but you're in mid-season form when it comes to dining out.
This belly is in mid-season form right now.
We're going to get a belly appearance on the camera tonight?
No, I don't think so.
That's mid-season stuff. That's walk-off touchdown against the Buffalo Bills kind of stuff.
We'll see. If I break out the windbreaker, you'll get to see some belly. Oh.
Yeah, we got it. That's wait until you're drinking fully spiked Kool-Aid. That's when the belly makes an appearance on the podcast. We love it. Well, thanks for everybody for being here today. We're going to talk about all kinds of the Dolphins news. We're going to talk about the preseason. We're going to talk about some positional battles. We got one preseason game left to go, but we're going to kick it all off today by talking about the rumors. If you are any kind of Miami Dolphin fan, you have heard that word broke late Monday afternoon, Jonathan Taylor is requesting a trade, and the Colts have given him permission to do so. And as of Tuesday afternoon, your Miami Dolphins were the betting favorites to land Jonathan Taylor at plus 250 on a sportsbook that is not the one sponsoring this show. But make sure, if we want to talk about the sponsor that is, the sportsbook that is sponsoring the show, which I think that's a perfect segue, it's BetUS, baby. Head over to BetUS.com, use the promo code DolphinsTalk and get 125% sign up bonus. Seems like something that you would want to do if you're looking to place a bet, if you're looking to get yourself ready for football season. It is, that's when the sports betting action really starts to heat up a little bit. You're tired of doing home run parlays. You're tired of doing same game parlays as to how many hits Seiya Suzuki is going to have tonight. It's time to shift your focus to football. Head over to BetUS, use that promo code DolphinsTalk, and you're going to be on your way with a 125% sign up bonus. Brain, Jonathan Taylor. Okay, so we had this whole conversation earlier in the offseason about Dalvin Cook.
Uh-huh.
I don't think this is an apples to apples situation. I think Dalvin Cook is an older running back who still a powerful running back, but he was not somebody that I was thinking that the Dolphins should make a trade for. Now you've got Jonathan Taylor, who is, I think, consensus top five or six running back in the National Football League. He's had a major falling out with management in Indianapolis. He wants out. The bigger concern is that he wants a big second contract. And in the National Football League in 2023, running backs are not getting those types of contracts anymore. We saw Christian McCaffrey get a big contract when he moved out to San Francisco. I think that's the last big contract that we're going to see given out to a running back for some time. And so now running backs just in general have been devalued. And we know that the Dolphins in particular have not valued running backs. They've had numerous opportunities to draft running backs with higher draft picks. They've passed on them. Jonathan Taylor himself was a guy that the Dolphins passed on in order to draft Noah Igbinoghene. Now we find ourselves in this position where the Dolphins have an opportunity to make a trade for Jonathan Taylor. The Colts reportedly want a first-round pick or a first-round pick equivalent, which to me says the Dolphins could potentially get away with trading a second-round pick, perhaps another pick, maybe a fourth-round pick, something like that, third-round pick. And then I think packaging a player in the deal might satisfy the Colts. The bigger issue, I think, if we're looking at this situation, is how you navigate this contract situation, because Jonathan Taylor wants that contract. Dolphins already have a contract that they need to give out. The priority, if I'm the Miami Dolphins, is my priority is I need to get this contract solved with Christian Wilkins. That's a bigger issue for me. I've got a running back room that I'm pretty happy with, although we know that the Dolphins have been sniffing around. Right? We know that they were sniffing around possibly with Dalvin Cook. We know they were sniffing around some other places as well. But the priority has to be signing Christian Wilkins. But if you can figure that out and you can figure out a way to navigate this contract situation with Jonathan Taylor, I mean, it seems to me like that's the kind of guy who would be a perfect fit for this Dolphins system, Bran.
Yeah. Jonathan Taylor would be a perfect fit to the Dolphins system. I would love to have Jonathan Taylor on the Miami Dolphins roster. Here's the problem. It's not just Christian Wilkins. You can sign Christian Wilkins to an extension and still go and sign Jonathan Taylor. But Christian Wilkins is not the only Miami Dolphins player that's entering a contract year. The Miami Dolphins' plight for basically half of my lifetime at this point has been the offensive line. And literally on a daily basis, Miami Dolphins fans bitch and bemoan how bad our offensive line is.
True.
The running game in general has been proven to be a product of the offensive line. That is why the running back position is so devalued. It's why these running backs aren't getting second contracts. And furthermore, two of the Dolphins' big contract year players, Robert Hunt and Connor Williams, they have to make decisions on those guys. And let's not even forget, let's not even bring up right tackle, where we're coming into this season starting Austin Jackson, presumably.
Long-term answer, Austin Jackson?
Well, no one's really confident that that's a long-term answer, but there's a reason why the Dolphins didn't invest a lot of money in the tackle position, and that was because they wanted to, with Austin Jackson having a fair amount of money owed to him this year, they wanted to give him one more year of a fair shake. And let's go out, let's say that Austin Jackson goes out and has a decent year. Well, now you've got three offensive linemen that you have to kind of figure out. And if you let's say he doesn't have a good year, let's say he's Austin Jackson and he still sucks. Well, you still have a hole at right tackle. So you have to figure out your right tackle position. At the same time, you have a center and a right guard who are played darn near at a Pro Bowl caliber last year and are on the upswing, who are going into contract years, who you have to make decisions on at the end of this year. Like, I'm sorry, I would love to have Jonathan Taylor, but the only thing dumber than signing Jonathan Taylor to a mega deal is trading prime draft capital and then still having to give him that contract. Because we've already talked about how 2024, this Dolphins team is going to be really struggling to get under the cap. And they've got all these decisions to make. Well, the only way, part of the solution to that is cheap labor. And that's what draft picks are. And the Dolphins the last 2 years, look, you can say that they were good moves. You can argue with them. However you feel about the way the Dolphins constructed this roster and treated their draft capital, that's fine. But the bottom line is the Dolphins have not had a lot of draft picks the last couple of years. And now it's coming time to pay the piper. And they're going to need to replenish the cupboard with cheap labor, with good quality young players. If they continue to trade away draft picks and sign high money players, they are going to very, very quickly turn into the Los Angeles Rams, where they're in salary cap hell and they have to rebuild. Now, if I'm not saying that I don't want Jonathan Taylor, and look, like, if you get Jonathan Taylor and you want to be the Los Angeles Rams, okay, well then do what the Los Angeles Rams did and win a Super Bowl. Because if you make the move for Jonathan Taylor, I'm sorry, but you are like, you've literally mortgaged the future. And you've done it for a running back in a landscape of a league that has, by and large, come to the realization that the way that you value the running back position is to draft running backs. And when you have a good one, you run them into the ground and then you let them go and you let them sign their big money deal with somebody else, because the odds are by the time they get to their third year of that deal, they're not going to have anything left and the contract is going to be an albatross. So when the report came out, I thought, well, I don't really see this happening because it really doesn't make sense to the Dolphins. But then I keep thinking about it and I'm like, well, there's always going to be a stupid team. And damn it if it isn't usually the Dolphins.
Yeah, I mean, it usually is. That's how we roll. Listen, to paraphrase the immortal phrase or the famous phrase, I'm not here for a good time. I'm here for a long time as a Dolphin fan. I'm just here. And if there's a good time along the way, then great. But, you know, that's just kind of how it is. Listen, I think you could also make the argument that if you're going to go all in, might as well go all in. And having a player like Jonathan Taylor would be an addition to that running back room. Like I said, he would be a perfect fit. Now, I think you also have a lot of running backs that are of a similar nature that you can get maybe with the combination of running backs that you have, you can probably get about 75% of Jonathan Taylor and you're paying them a whole lot less. So probably, and where I ultimately think this is going to be is that the Dolphins are going to end up with the running back room that they have right now. And that's what we're going to go with. But it's out there and it's interesting. And listen, if there is a way that the Dolphins could get the deal done, and they, you know, and maybe they, like, Emmanuel Ogba is a guy who I think most people believe is playing his last season with the Miami Dolphins, and he's got this big onerous contract that he has not lived up to since he received it. If there was a way that the Dolphins could package Ogba as part of that deal, and you can, you know, obviously you're probably going to have to eat some of that contract by sending him away, but if that's something you can do, that's going to free up some cash. So I think there are ways around it. And again, the salary cap is not real. You can continue to do whatever you want to do and move things around and play tricks with money, and you can figure things out. There are ways to make it happen. Ultimately, it's the question of whether or not they believe it's something that they can do. I can tell you this. I'm really glad that the Jets decided that they wanted to go and sign Dalvin Cook as opposed to hanging out and waiting a little bit for Jonathan Taylor to hit the market. I can say that. So I don't know. I'd like to see it happen. What do you think? Let us know in the comments here on the YouTube video on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. If you haven't subscribed to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel, recommend you do that as well. Download, rate, review, and subscribe to the same old Dolphin Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, everywhere that you get your podcasts. And we invite you to make sure that you are following us on Twitter. I'm not calling it the other thing. I refuse. Follow us at Amplified to Rock, at Aaron the Brain. That's at Aaron the Brain. Show is at Same Old Dolphins. I'm also on Blueski or Blue Sky. I'm there. You can follow me there on Blue Sky or Blueski at Amplified to Rock as well. So let's make that happen. If you're one of the half a dozen people on Blueski, join me over there, would you? It'd be a good time. All right. So, Brain. Well, I guess you know what we should also plug our other sponsor, Caldera Labs. Listen, if you're anything like me, your face sucks, okay? So, or the brain, if you're like the brain, also, your face is not great.
My face sucks like Liam Eikenberg sucks at offensive line.
Yes, right. If your face is the equivalent of Liam Eikenberg trying to block people, then you need Caldera Labs, and it's going to make your skin look a lot better. And I'm not telling you it's going to turn you into, I don't know who people think is handsome. Not going to turn you into, who's a handsome guy? I don't know.
Ryan Gosling.
It's not going to turn you into Ryan Gosling. It's not going to turn you into Ryan Reynolds. Not going to turn you into Rob McElhenney. But it'll make you look a little bit better than Liam Eikenberg. Tell you that much. So go to Caldera Labs and use the promo code Dolphins Talk. You're going to get yourself a nice discount. You're going to get yourself some nice skincare routine so you can take care of yourself and make yourself look nice, make yourself look presentable. And the ladies, the gentlemen, everybody's going to be happy about it. And, you know, and maybe it'll make Jonathan Taylor's agent give you a call and say, hey, you want my guy? And it'll be up to you what you say. Caldera Labs, promo code Dolphins Talk. Brain, I'll tell you what, preseason is going on and I'm enjoying it right now. I enjoyed watching the game against the Houston Texans. And let me tell you, you know what my biggest takeaway is about this team right now? And I don't like to read too much into preseason, okay? I don't like to read too much into this preseason, but can I tell you something right now? I tell you my big takeaway. The Miami Dolphins have the best defense in the league. Let's go. Vic Fangio. It's happening. Best defense in the league. We've given up 9 points on defense through two preseason games. Shooting to the top. Draft the Dolphins defense in the first round of your fantasy league, folks, because we're coming. Dolphins defense. Wow. Let's go.
Wow. You took that away from... You preface that by saying you don't like to read too much into preseason games. And then you took that away from very little from the first team defense against the Atlanta Falcons and the Houston Texans.
That's right. And the backups of the Atlanta Falcons and the Houston Texans.
Wow.
Have not scored a touchdown against the Dolphins defense. You can't argue with results, man.
No, I can't argue with results. That's very
true. Vic Fangio is out here making a difference. I'll tell you what, I do like the way that the defense is looking. I mean, the starters in particular look good. I think I really like the addition of David Long. I think you can already see the impact that he is making out there. I'm really interested as we get through, as we have this last preseason game, rather, really curious to see what happens in that secondary. I was impressed with the flashes that we saw of Cam Smith. I'm interested to hear more or see more between this. Listen, Noah Igbinoghene is not great. He's never going to be great, and he's never going to be Jonathan Taylor. But I'll tell you what, he might be Eli Apple.
I don't even think he's going to be Eli Apple right now.
So you're saying Eli Apple is going to be starting opposite Xavier Howard?
No, not necessarily, but I think he's ahead of Noah Igbinoghene. I think right now there are four corners on this roster that are ahead of Noah Igbinoghene. Xavier Howard, Kader Kohou, Cam Smith, and Eli Apple are all ahead of Noah Igbinoghene. Noah Igbinoghene at best is the fifth corner on this roster. And if Jalen Ramsey wasn't hurt and going to start the season on the, you know, the PUP or whatever, then Noah Igbinoghene would be very, very much on the roster bubble. He may still be on the roster bubble, but he probably gets in because he still has guaranteed money based on where he was selected in the draft. And partially because of other injuries in the secondary and other guys that haven't, you know, really gotten in there, who have come off of injuries from last season, i.e. Brandon Jones, Nick Needham, and Trill Williams.
Yeah, I thought Noah Igbinoghene had a decent game against Houston. I thought there were a couple of plays where he had some really great coverage on receivers, and then CJ Stroud actually impressed me with a couple of the passes that he made in that game that were just in perfect spots. But, you know, Noah is Noah, and Noah's going to be Noah. And I think at this point, I don't know that he's going to be much more than that. I think that's a theme that is developing. Noah is what Noah is. Liam Eichenberg is what Liam Eichenberg is. Austin Jackson is what Austin Jackson is. And I don't know that much is going to change that. The one thing I can say is that it does seem like the Dolphins have finally decided that Liam Eichenberg is not going to be starting at left guard anymore for this team. And in fact, he seems to have been relegated. And whether it was Isaiah Wynn, who hasn't been outstanding, but he's been there and he's been better than Liam Eichenberg, or Robert Jones, who is now going to miss 4 to 6 weeks. Either way, that is an improvement over Liam Eichenberg. And so you got to take that win, I guess.
Yeah, well, I mean, Liam Eichenberg is another guy who really is just going to make this roster because of where he was drafted, because he's got money that is owed to him. The fact that Robert Jones got hurt now puts the Dolphins in a bit of a quandary, where, you know, how many guys are you going to keep? And are you going to go into the season with, you know, feeling good about, you know, you've got your starters and then I guess Dan Feeney and Liam Eichenberg as your two backup interior offensive linemen and Kendall Lamb as your, you know, swing tackle. Do you feel okay with that? And then, you know, do you keep Robert Jones? Does Robert Jones, kind of on the roster bubble, make it in as your ninth tackle? I think he'd probably be, I mean, as your ninth offensive lineman, I think he'd probably be your eighth offensive lineman if it wasn't for Liam Eichenberg. But I think Liam Eichenberg is going to get a spot on this roster. So now that Robert Jones is hurt, you know, you start looking around. Well, do you go out and do you sign a tackle? And then it gives you a little bit more flexibility where if you need to play, you know, that tackle, maybe you can move somebody else inside to guard. Or do you go out and you get like a Dalton Risner, and just kind of give yourself some insurance that you've got an adequate level starter that is in the mix on the interior of the offensive line? These are all kind of questions because, you know, we're trying to figure out, you know, you don't want to go into this season. You're going into a season where the goal is to win a championship. And you don't want the offensive line to be the reason that it doesn't happen. And these are the things that could make that be the reason. So like the fact that, you know, Teron Armstead had an injury scare. Robert Jones now is going to miss a few weeks. You know, what happens when like another guy goes down? You know, what happens if you need to move Isaiah Wynn over to play left tackle? And then that means you got to play Liam Eichenberg because Robert Jones is still hurt.
I can tell you what happens.
Well, I think you guys are probably more worried than we are, you know, in terms of, you know, at the position depth at those spots you talked about, but.
There you go.
Yeah.
So you just engrave that on Chris Greer's tombstone.
So, I mean, we'll see what happens. Like, I don't think that they're in dire straits with the offensive line, but I think that you can't ignore it. And I think, you know, circling back to the Jonathan Taylor thing, I think when you go out and you sign, if you do make that trade and you sign Jonathan Taylor, like, who is it that you're not signing? Because you're not like here are the guys. You tell me who you're not signing. Christian Wilkins, Robert Hunt, Connor Williams.
Oh, you didn't even say Zach Sealer.
I didn't say Zach Sealer because I feel like if they spend big money on Christian Wilkins, they're not going to spend big money on Zach Sealer. I think it's going to be, I don't think that there's a world where the Dolphins bring back both Wilkins and Sealer, because that's just way too much money to invest in on your interior defensive line. So I like, if you decide, okay, we're not going to pay Christian Wilkins, then you're going to pay Zach Sealer a fraction of that. Is that the answer, that you value Jonathan Taylor over Christian Wilkins? Or do you say, no, Christian Wilkins is a top priority, so that's a non-starter. So we do this move, and then we're not, you know, which of Robert Hunt and Connor Williams? And then you got to go out, and are you going to spend big money on an offensive lineman next year? Or are you going to do it in the draft with one fewer prime pick to use? It just doesn't make sense. It's needlessly opening up a hole when it's been proven time and time again that you don't need a star running back to win in this league.
Right. Right. That's ultimately what it comes down to. It's not something that you need to win this league. And quite frankly, the Dolphins have a very solid running back room as it is. I mean, not to take too much away from a preseason game, right? Obviously, I was a little bit over the top and a little bit tongue in cheek with my comments about the Dolphins defense earlier, but they did run for 205 yards against the Houston Texans the other day. So, you know, and again, you don't want to take too much away from that, but there does seem to be a cohesiveness about this offensive line with these pieces that they have right now, which is good. But if they've got that, you know, I think they're going to be just fine with the running back room that they have. Not to say that it's not worth an upgrade, taking a flyer if you can. But again, if you've, I think unless you're offloading a significant amount of cash in return to bring in Taylor, I don't think it works. But what other areas of this team, what else has been interesting to you, Brian? What else have you taken away from these first couple of preseason games here? We're going so far as we're not going to mention the Teron Armstead thing. We were going to talk about it last week, but then we ended up not having a show because your boy was under the weather. But you know, what have been your takeaways from this preseason so far?
I mean, first off, the preseason is just it's just so boring. It's just so boring. Like, because,
but look at all those cool practice clips that you see of Tyreek Hill catching passes in his sweatpants.
Yeah. I mean, there are thrilling. Cool little things. I mean, there, I'm not saying that there's not value in it. And as a fan who follows the team, I'm not saying that there aren't things that are intriguing. It's just the things that are intriguing are the bottom of the roster guys. Yeah. Because we know what the top of this roster looks like. And if there are any guys at the top of the roster that you're intrigued about, you're not really going to glean anything off of them playing a handful of snaps, playing, you know, either vanilla offense or vanilla defense. So you're not really going to know anything. So it's not interesting. What's interesting is the position battles at the bottom of the roster. So for me, wide receiver is very interesting because I like what they did at wide receiver. I wasn't huge on the Braxton Berrios signing.
Aaron Katzker, give Chris Greer a compliment challenge.
I didn't love the move. I didn't hate the move. I just thought it was kind of okay. This is an interesting move. But I think he definitely adds a piece, where you have another reliable, heady wide receiver, that is gonna definitely be a contributor. And then I think Eric Azukama looks like he's playing with even more burst this preseason than he played last season. I know he's going to make the roster, but I think there's definitely going to be space for him to contribute. And then what it really leaves you with is it leaves you for three guys in my mind that are battling for two roster spots. And that is Cedric Wilson, Robbie Chosen, and River Craycraft. Now, the thing is that Cedric Wilson, I don't think would make this roster if he wasn't guaranteed $5 million. And I think there's still the potential, if you can find a trade partner, where you can save that cap space and free up the roster spot so that, you know, both Robbie Chosen and River Craycraft make the roster. Now, if that doesn't happen, I think Cedric Wilson makes the roster. And I think what you've got is really Robbie Chosen and River Craycraft battling for that last spot on the roster. And given just the kind of the makeup of the roster, I think probably who's going to win out there is going to be River Craycraft. In my opinion, that's who it would be.
I would agree, just mainly because of the blocking ability.
I think just the everything. I think the fact that you're going to get special teams from him, you're going to get a little bit of a different bag, just a little bit of a different tool set. And I think that when you look at Cedric Wilson, Robbie Chosen, and even Eric Azukama, I think those three guys are all the same type of receiver. Whereas River Craycraft, I think, is more in that Braxton Berrios role where, let's say you put, and I think River Craycraft honestly has probably done enough between what he did last year and what he's shown this preseason, where I think if we put him on the practice squad, I think this guy's getting picked up. I think he's going to get picked up by another team. But let's say you do risk that and he does get picked up by another team because you decide to take, you decide to keep Robbie Chosen and Cedric Wilson, and then Braxton Berrios goes down with an injury. Well, you don't have another guy now that can fill that role. I feel like River Craycraft can fill that role. And so I just think it's the more complementary piece. And I think when you get down to wide receiver 5 and 6, you want somebody that's going to be more of a complementary piece. You're not really looking at, you know, ceiling, because especially when your top two receivers are Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, because those guys are going to get such a lion's share of the targets.
Yeah, sure. I don't know. I don't know that I put them all in the same bucket, but if I had to pick the one guy from those three that doesn't make the team, I would say it's probably Robbie Chosen. Robbie Not Chosen, really. Not is his middle name now. And if it's not, maybe it will be. What else? What are some of those other position battles that you're really interested in? Because I'll tell you what, there's a couple guys that I wonder if they're going to make the team. One is Brandon Peely. And the other, Garrett Nelson.
Well, I think it's going to be difficult for Garrett Nelson to make the roster because I think he plays a position where the Dolphins have a good amount of depth.
Big John offered all energy.
Yeah, but I think he could definitely be a practice squad guy. I think Brandon Peely could be a big-time practice squad guy. I think ideally, You're filling the Peely role with a guy that's not yet a free agent, a guy that's going to shake free from a different team that maybe has a little bit more depth on the interior defensive line. Just so you have somebody that I think is a little bit more reliable there. But I like the idea of stashing Peely and stashing Nelson on the practice squad. I think those guys would definitely be safe on the practice squad and would be really good developmental pieces. I think tight end is very interesting because I think you've got Durham Smythe. I think you've got Croft. And then I think you have a few guys that are just kind of battling. I think it was kind of a foregone conclusion that Eric Saubert was going to make this roster, but I don't know for sure at this point.
Sounds like he's had a terrible camp.
Yeah. So I like what I've seen out of Elijah Higgins. I like what I've seen out of Julian Hill.
Yep. Agree.
I think that the fact that this team is going to likely keep six receivers, that there's a very good chance that we're going to keep three quarterbacks. We don't know how many running backs, how many offensive linemen we're going to keep. I don't think we're going to keep more than we're not going to keep more than four tight ends. We might not keep more than three tight ends on the 53 man. So I think it's going to be, you know, those three guys kind of battling for that spot. And we didn't even mention Tanner Connor because he hasn't even gotten out there, which kind of feels like, you know, he's destined for the practice squad. But I think that race is interesting. And I think the offensive line race is interesting. I think at tackle, interestingly enough, I mean, Kendall Lamb has seemingly locked down the swing tackle position. Cedric Oguehi, to me, has done nothing to warrant a roster spot. I don't see it happening. And Keon Smith, who's been a guy that has been completely unrosterable, just like a disaster the last couple of years, has actually shown signs of maybe being something, but I don't think he's going to make the roster either. So it's really just comes down to, you know, we kind of know what we've got as far as guys on the offensive line. It's just what, you know, who makes it? Does Robert Jones make it? Now that Robert Jones is hurt, does Lester Cotton get that legit chance? Does Lester Cotton make the roster and bump him off? Or, you know, do we go out and bring somebody in? I think that position is interesting. And then the last thing is really the defensive backfield. I think that's interesting to see how that shakes up. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Trill Williams got the red jersey taken off prior to the first preseason game. But I haven't seen him out there.
No.
Has he not played?
So. I'm not sure what's going on there with Trill Williams. I don't know if they're bringing him back carefully. I mean, there's that thing in the secondary, you know, with Trill Williams coming back, Brandon Jones a little bit behind. Well, I don't know if it's behind schedule, but he's not ready yet. Nick Needham is still a little ways off before he's going to be ready. So, I mean, there are still some depth questions in the defensive backfield as we're working on health. And then obviously Jalen Ramsey, of course, is out right now. So, I mean, yeah, there's a little bit of a wild card out there in the defensive backfield right now for the Dolphins.
Yeah. So, I mean, to me, that's what's been intriguing about the preseason. And I think that's really the way it should be, in the preseason. When you have a good team, and I do think the Dolphins have a good team, the preseason isn't about anything but the bottom of the roster. And that's the way it should be.
Here's a good comment here from Joe Manuel Q. Skyler. I tell you what. For as bad as he looked in the first preseason game, I thought Skylar Thompson looked a lot better after he settled down in that game against the Texans. I thought a much better performance from Skylar Thompson. With Mike White now in concussion protocol, it sort of paves the way for Skylar to become that number two quarterback, depending on how long Mike White is going to be out. And we don't know how long that's going to be, but right now, it seems like Skyler is the odds-on favorite to be that number two, at least for now. Obviously, Mike White, with the contract that he signed, is the guy that we're likely to see assume that number two role as the season goes on. But right now it's Skyler with White and concussion protocol. Speaking of quarterbacks, what did you make of Mr. Tagovailoa's performance in the preseason game?
Well, I want to touch on that, but I think you missed out on the best part about this comment here by Joe Manuel Q, and that is the Skyler ... roller coaster.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, see it now. And I think that very aptly describes Skylar Thompson, because the difference between Skylar Thompson and Mike White is that you know what you're going to get from Mike White, which is
yes.
run-of-the-mill backup quarterback.
Yeah, wait,
solid
with Mike White
backup quarterback.
With Mike White, you are getting a plain bagel every time.
Plain bagel with butter, not even cream
with
cheese.
Butter. You're getting you're not even getting cream cheese on that bagel. You're getting this guy's an abomination in South Florida. A plain bagel with butter on it.
Hey, as somebody who worked at Einstein Brothers, there are plenty of people that order a plain bagel with butter. What I'll say about
abomination.
Mike, look, he's not a not toasted plain bagel with butter. He's toasted. I mean, you at put any sort of toasted bread with butter has a baseline level of pretty good. And that's kind of what
Mike.
At least
a five.
Yeah, and that's what Mike White is. Mike White is a toasted plain bagel with butter.
Okay, good.
The thing with Skylar Thompson is
finish this analogy.
Skylar Thompson is like, you know, one day he might be a bagel with butter. The next day he might be, you know, a pumpernickel sesame seed with onion and chive cream cheese. And you're like, wow, this guy's great. But then the next day he might be a garlic bagel with strawberry cream cheese. And you're like, what the hell is this abomination? That's the issue, is that Skylar can make a throw. And granted, it was incomplete, but throw a beautiful dot 40, 50 yards down the field. Can roll out, look like, you know, he looked like a guy that's got talent. Like this is a guy that can play football, could be a quarterback at the NFL level. But then you also have one where he rolls out or he drops back. And then as he's going down to the ground in an effort to try to make a play, he fumbles the ball and luckily he lands on it, or that could be a costly turnover deep in your own red zone. That's the issue with Skyler. Now, I thought Skyler, though, his ceiling is a lot higher than Mike White's, and so I think it makes it an intriguing guy. Like, if they can continue to hone in on him and rein in those things, if they can just get him to, you know, toasted sesame with plain cream cheese, like, this would be what I want in my backup quarterback.
You just need him to be a middle of the road, solid bagel.
Solid bagel. He doesn't need to have, you know, any Nova onion, tomato, capers. You know, that's what we need Tua to be. We need Tua to be the whole lox and bagel. We just need Skyler. We just need our number two, whoever they are, to just be a solid, toasted, seeded bagel with plain cream cheese.
All right, fair enough. I think that is a very good way to put it. Tremendous analogy there. That's why people come to us on the same old Dolphin show, because who else is comparing the Dolphins' backup quarterbacks to bagels? Nobody. Nobody is doing that. That's why you come here. That's why you come to us. All right, Brain. What else? What do we got? So, Tua. I wanted to talk about that. I wanted to get your opinion on Mr. Tagovailoa, the guy who we need to be the everything bagel with the cream cheese and the lox and the onions and the capers. How'd you feel about his performance? That first pass.
I mean, that was shaky. That was bad.
Here's the thing that's amazing about that pass, right? Okay. Here's the thing that's amazing. Again, it's the perfect Dolphins thing. Because half of the Dolphins people are going to tell you it's the preseason. Don't worry about it. And the other half are going to go, this is terrible. This is bad. This is like, it's a horrible pass, horrible decision. It's everything wrong. right? And it's and they're looking at it like doom and gloom, right? And the way that I think about it is, I'm not taking it too seriously. It's not the end of the world. It is preseason. It's okay. If that's going to happen, let it happen on the first pass of preseason. Fine. But at the same time, I'm not going to pretend that it didn't happen, right? Because it is one of the things that we talked about on the last episode of the show. What we need him to do is be that guy who doesn't make that mistake. We need him to be that guy, whether it's he got sped up and he was playing off script and he had to get rid of the ball quickly. We need him to be the guy who makes the decision not to try to squeeze that ball into that tight space and end up throwing an interception, or to be that guy who goes to his first read even when there's somebody ready for it. We need him to be the guy that goes, this isn't here, I'm just going to throw it away. This play is done. Let's get to the next down. That's the guy you need him to be, right? I'm not gonna be worried about it, but I am going to say that is something that happened. That is something that's going to live in the back of my head. And I'm just going to have to, you know, hope that that's something that he learns from and that it's not something that we're going to see a lot of as we go to the regular season. Because, and then I'll tell you what, the next drive, he certainly looked like the guy that you want him to be, who led what was essentially a 99-yard touchdown drive after a vintage Connor Williams high snap, right? You get the
the 99 total yard blown drive. Call on that the obvious false start that was not called, which led to the fumbled snap.
It's preseason for the referees too.
Yeah. Look, you're right. You have to take it for what it is. You have to acknowledge it, but you can't freak out about it. The other thing is, I think at some point. I don't know that we're there yet. You know, judging by this conversation, we might not be there yet. But at some point, we have to accept that Tua is a good quarterback. And
yes,
even good quarterbacks are sometimes going to screw up. It's not like Dan Marino never threw a pick six. It's not like Aaron Rodgers never threw a pick six. I'd have to check the stats, but I'm fairly certain that Patrick Mahomes has thrown, you know, some really bad interceptions in his games. You know, at some point.
What about Josh Allen? Has Josh Allen ever thrown a bad interception?
Josh Allen has thrown.
Asking for a friend.
Very many bad interceptions. And so at some point, you kind of have to just say, look, all right, that's a bad play. He screwed up. You can't have that happen. But how does he bounce back? He bounced back by having a 99-yard touchdown drive. So, by and large, you have to be happy with that. Is anybody going to be happy with him throwing a pick six? No, nobody's going to be happy with that. If that happens in a regular season game, depending on when it happens in the game, it could very well be the difference between winning and losing a game. But he wouldn't be the first quarterback to make that mistake. He wouldn't be the first Pro Bowl caliber or even Hall of Fame quarterback to make that kind of mistake. You just can't have it happen often. I think Tua has played well enough that he's earned a little bit of patience. And, you know, especially in the preseason, let's not freak out, because at the end of the day, we know what this team is without him. We know what the drop-off is. From Tua to whether it's Mike White or Skylar Thompson. And if this team has any chance of getting to the promised land this season, it's going to be with Tua. So we all need to relax a little bit.
Well, relaxing is not something that Miami Dolphin fans do. You know this better than anybody. That's not what we do around here.
Well, the preseason is not the time to freak out. If you're freaking out in the preseason, you're going to have a heart attack by the time we get to December.
Oh, yeah. There are certainly Dolphin fans that, and I'm somebody who's excitable. You may have, if you've been a longtime listener of this show, you may have learned this over time. But, you know, I try to keep a level head. I'm not going to lose my mind and get pissed off about a preseason game. You know, there are people out there who do. Not going to be me. But you know what? There is something that happens sometimes. Sometimes you do get a little emotional. And sometimes, well...
Can we check your pulse if you're not fired up?
That's right. You gotta check your pulse. And that's what we're going to do right now. It is time for a Miami Dolphins pulse check. So this is where you, the listeners of the Same Old Dolphin Show, tell us how you are feeling right now about the Miami Dolphins in one word. So what is one word to describe how you are feeling about the Miami Dolphins right now? Brain, I'll start with you. What is your pulse check?
Well, I mean, honestly, I came into this thinking, you know, my word is really meh. It's just meh. It's the preseason. Like, I want to see, you know, like, I'm not going to overreact to anything that we see in the preseason. I mean, last year, if the preseason mattered, Skylar Thompson would be, you know, battling for a starting position. Eric Ezukanma would be, without question, the third best wide receiver on this team. Like, relax. It's the preseason. It's basically nothing to see here. The one thing that we should be happy about is that we've narrowly averted any more serious injuries since the Jalen Ramsey injury early on in camp. We've got one more preseason game to get through. Hopefully we can get out of it healthy. And then we really get to see what this team looks like. But I'm not going to overreact one way or another. I don't care about Tua throwing an interception. I don't care about, you know, the third string, fourth string offensive lineman getting destroyed. And then everybody saying, oh man, did you see the way Skylar Thompson had like no time to throw in the third and fourth quarter of that first preseason game because they had Tunstall and Christian out there at tackle. And those guys are not making the roster. I don't care what those guys do. I care about the way that the guys who are going to make the roster play. The guys that have made the roster have played fine. This team kind of looks like, I don't know how you glean if you were excited about what this team was going to look like going into the season. I don't see anything that would change my mind. And if you thought this team was overrated and was going to suck, I don't see anything that was going to change your mind. The preseason is wholly meaningless for nothing but evaluating the talent at the bottom of your roster. So, meh.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's all about staying healthy, which the Dolphins have not really done, but, you know, it also hasn't been the end of the world. They haven't lost anybody for the season, knock on wood. So we put it out to the people, and we've got some answers here. Pride909 on YouTube says they are concerned. Garrett Grimes is encouraged. Laird Fentress is stoked. Let's see. Troy Jesse is anxious. And let's see what else we got here. We got some answers on the Twitter machine as well. Skinnerd at Skinnerd991 is hard. You know, like a they're having a hard time. I'm assuming that's what that means.
Definitely. I thought he was just taking stoked to a whole new level.
Maybe could be. Mike at Dolphins Talk says he is tranquil. Sugar Ray 79 on Twitter is curious. Ian Carter is unimpressed. Patrick Mullen at the Navarone Gun says deja vu. And let's see what else we got. Michael Anderson, Beast Mike says calm. At Sabotage 10 says horny. We got to get Sabotage 10 together with Skinnerd 991. That could be a good time. Twitzy is cautious. Daniel Garza, C87, is ready. Chris Boustin is stoked. And I think probably what is my... Oh, we got Richard Lynn at Marino 420 TD is optimistic. But I think my favorite answer comes from Kevin Dern, who says, to quote James Lipton, scrum-trelescent. Do you get Scrum Trelescent? Do you get it? Oh, man. Okay. Well, if you know Scrum Trelescent, you know. And in fact, actually, that's actually what Kevin said in his tweet. If you know, you know. If you don't know, Google it and you'll figure it out. But yes, it's a good one. So needless to say, Kevin Dern is feeling good about the Dolphins. I guess I'll do mine here before we close out here. And mine is not that. That's yours. I'm impatient. I'm impatient because I want to win a Super Bowl. I'm impatient. I want to win a playoff game. I'm impatient because I hate the preseason. It's like this tease. And here's the thing. If you're on Twitter, you're on social media, the worst part about the preseason is you get somebody sharing a slow motion clip of Calvin Ridley, not even in pads, running up the field and catching a pass, and there's a fire emoji next to it. Like, nobody, 0.0% of practice clips shared on Twitter where a player is not in pads. None of that is going to impress me. None of that is going to fire me up. All it's going to do is serve to annoy me because it's fake football. And that's kind of what the preseason's all about. So I'm impatient. I am ready for the regular season. I am ready for meaningful football. I am ready to see my Miami Dolphins in LA taking on the Chargers on the first Sunday of the season. I'm ready to fire up Sunday Ticket on YouTube TV. I am ready. I am impatient with not having meaningful regular season football. That's how I'm feeling, Brain.
Yeah. The other word that I was considering was just worried, and that's over this whole Jonathan Taylor thing. It's not even about the season. It's just I'm worried that the Dolphins are going to be the Dolphins. It would be the very same.
Well, here's
same.
What I'll say. Yeah. Let me say this. You can, if the Dolphins decide to make the move for Jonathan Taylor.
Oh, they're a better team.
They are a better team today. They are a better team immediately if they make that trade. It makes their situation moving forward more difficult, has the potential to weaken them down the line. But in the short term, it makes them a better team. And that is good. And listen, like you said at the end of the day, if the Dolphins are going to be the LA Rams, win a Super Bowl, and then, you know, then it'll be worth it. Right?
Yeah.
Can't argue with that.
100%. I just think, how much better does Jonathan Taylor make you considering that, you know, when the Dolphins wanted to run the ball last year, they, you know, their top two running backs, you know, averaged a pretty good clip per carry. You know, does Jonathan Taylor, is he the missing piece that puts you over the top? I just think at the end of the day, if the Dolphins are going to win the Super Bowl, it's going to be because the defense is elite and because Tua has really cemented himself as an upper echelon quarterback in this league and proven that, you know, he can play at the level that he played last year, but more consistently and stay healthy. Because I don't think the Dolphins, no matter who's running the football, are going to win the Super Bowl because they have some great running game. I just don't think that's the way the team is built. I don't think that's the way that this league is. I think you have to have really good quarterback play and a really good defense. And I think the Dolphins have the potential of having both of those things. I think the running game in, you know, by and large is a product of having good, a good offensive line and good coaching. You know, I'm not saying that it's a meaningless position. I just think that if you go out and you get Jonathan Taylor, he better freaking put you over the top. Because a lot of people were saying, you know, when we traded a first round pick for Bradley Chubb last year, that was going to put us over the top. And it didn't. And I don't think that there's one player that will, and it certainly isn't going to be at the running back position.
Well, many people are saying that the Dolphins are at the beginning of what is an apparent 2-year window. It's right now, and it's next year. And that's the window right now. And as far as I'm concerned, it's right now. So let's go. We're all in. Let's push the chips to the center of the table. Let's go win ourselves a Super Bowl in week 3 of the preseason, baby, against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
So before we go, I just want you on record. So you're making the trade for Jonathan Taylor. You're going all in.
Well, with Jonathan Taylor. If the price is right. Well,
what's the price? All right, second and a third.
The trade that I originally saw proposed was the Dolphins packaging Jeff Wilson a second round pick and a fourth round pick. Now, I think that leaves the Dolphins with way too much money. Like they're in a deep hole. Like, I really think you got to ship off somebody like Cedric Wilson or Emmanuel Ogba to shed some of that salary. But if
he's going to want like 14 to 15, he's going to want he's going to want the Christian McCaffrey contract at the very least, which was $16 million a year.
And he's not going to get it. Nobody's going to get that. And so, I don't know. If you can get him on a smaller deal, fine. But, you know, at the end of the day, would I love it if it happened? Sure. But I don't think it's going to. If I had to bet right now, I would not bet on Taylor coming to the Dolphins.
All right. So
I'd be happy to be wrong.
Let's say second and a fourth and Cedric Wilson. And you pay him the Christian McCaffrey contract. You doing it?
I'm not giving him that contract.
All right. Let's say you give him $13 million a year for 4 years. 4 years, $52 million.
I don't know if I'm giving him that contract either.
Well, you're not doing it then. Like, I mean, you're not doing it.
Then I'm not doing it. I'm not paying him that money.
Because he's got your franchise by the balls if you trade for him. Because there's no way that it's like when the Dolphins traded Laremy Tunsil to the Texans.
Yeah.
And then he became a free agent. Like, what are you going to do? Like, the Texans aren't going to give away all that draft capital and then not sign him.
Right.
Yeah. So you, like, you make that trade, you are going to make Christian McCaffrey signed that contract in 2020. The cap has gone up every year since then.
Yeah.
If you trade for Jonathan Taylor, you are making him the highest paid running back in the league. Like,
yes.
The Christian McCaffrey contract, honestly, is like the baseline of what he's getting.
Yeah. And I just don't think. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I just don't think the Dolphins are going to pay him that money. That's what my gut says.
So. Well, and my what I'm saying is that if you're not going to pay him that money, you don't trade for him.
Right.
Because if you trade for him, you're paying him that money.
Of course. If the Dolphins do make the decision to trade for him, they are paying him that money. What I will say is if you're going to do that, you sure as hell better have Christian Wilkins locked up first. That's what I'm going to say. I am not interested in passing on Christian Wilkins to bring in Jonathan Taylor. I'll say that. So I think that's where we're going to wrap it up here, Brain, because otherwise we could go back and forth on this theoretically all day, all night. And, you know, it'll be what it is. But I think that's going to wrap us up. So a reminder, if you're not doing so already, make sure you're following us on Twitter @AmplifiedToRock, also on Blue Sky. Follow him at Aaron the Brain. That's at Aaron the Brain. The show is at Same Old Dolphins. Download, rate, review, and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, everywhere you get your podcast. Visit DolphinsTalk.com each and every day. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Turn on notifications so you know when we go live, just like this. You can participate in the chat with all the great people. Let's see. What else we got? We got Caldera Labs. Use promo code DolphinsTalk. Go to BetUS. Use that promo code DolphinsTalk. Do all of those things. Support the sponsors. We appreciate that very much. And yeah, that's it. We will not have another show before the preseason game, the preseason finale, but we will have another show coming to you next week, perhaps after the roster, the 53-man roster is announced. And then we're going to really and truly start that build up to the regular season. It's almost time, baby. It is almost time. But until then, take care of yourselves and each other. And as always, go Dolphins!
What kind of bagel you think Chris Greer orders at Einstein?